So strange, but appealing.
Welcome to the Bump Shop Diaries. Join us, perhaps you may want to listen to a Bump Shop story.
Parents strongly caution, the following programs are intended for mature audiences over the age of 18. These programs may contain some material that many parents would not find suitable for children and may include intense violence, sexual situations, coarse language, and suggestive dialogue.
Me and Flywheel Dement were putting homeward bound on I-65 out of Lebanon, Indiana, around 2 o'clock one Monday morning this past summer. We still had over 160 miles to go. It had been one of the most righteous days all along. Perfect weather, no mechanical problems, lots of native Hoosier quail for the wayfaring bird watcher to ogle, and no hassles by the Indiana State Highway jaws. We reined off into the wayside truck stop for a quick coffee and chance to rummage through our bungee cords for our leather jackets and gloves. As we plopped on the stool of ours on one side of the horseshoe-shaped counter inside, I glance across and spot a familiar hometown face speckled with flying spaghetti sauce. Well, I'll be damned if it ain't Jack Bishop himself. I greeted aloud. You trucking in or out, Jack? Jack didn't lose a single stroke with his fork hand as he thumbed the other over his shoulder. Normally, Jack is a chatty and affable fellow, but the ritual of stuffing his face held first priority over social intercourse with a gadding biker hailing from the same hometown. Aware of this, I refrained from interfering with his piranha-like jaws and waited until he finished obliterating his grunts. Meanwhile, Flywheel and I began to rap about the day's ride like fighter pilots rehashing a successful mission. Flywheel was recalling several close calls we had had with Yahoo drivers cutting in front of us at numerous intersections. He was loudly declaring what yokels they were. This guy sitting at the head of the counter couldn't resist butting into our conversation after that.
Pardon me, Mac.
He intruded, addressing Flywheel.
You were talking about Yahoo car drivers screwing over motorcycle riders. How about them hotshot motorcyclists that shoot in and out between cars acting like smart Alex all the time?
Bishop suddenly raised up out of his dessert. He fixed on me with a tongue-in-cheek expression, then rolled his eyes skyward as though to say, "He's your joker, not mine." Flywheel turned to me and whined aloud.
Who the fuck is this dude?
To forestall an impending rhubarb, I checked Flywheel's mounting anger by politely informing the guy that cyclists who act like that are a minority, that their kind are eventually self-eliminated. It didn't alter the guy's attitude one bit.
Oh yeah? Well, if I run up against one of them hotshots in my car, he's gonna get eliminated, all right.
I could see Flywheel was getting hotter than a half-fucked fox in a forest fire. The gold banana-shaped earring dangling from his pierced earlobe was swinging like a speed bag. His jugular veins were pulsating like high-pressure hoses, and he kept kneading the air with those awesome fists of his that looked as big as agar canned hams. His face flushed crimson, like a chameleon's, and he wouldn't take his cocked eye off the guy's jaw. To intensify the already explosive atmosphere, the guy even looked like a nuisance. He had a triangular-shaped head like an old-time comic book character, Submarine Man. On top of that sat a billed cap with the monogram CAT sewn across the front. Jack Bishop, meanwhile, remained mute. He avoided getting involved in vehicular conversation with four-wheelers as he called autoist. Jack was still peeved at the government's ruling holding semi-trailers down to 55-mile-an-hour maximum, forcing them into deadly proximity with those four-wheeled scourges of our highways. Jack was also a retired cyclist himself who gave the game up when some psycho tailgater in a car bulldozed him off the road into a raging river. One of the most skillful professional drivers, Jack had logged well over a million miles without so much as a fender bender. As I was busy calming flywheel, Jack shied past us, anteed up at the cash register, then vamoosed through the door, bidding me a see ya at home. I didn't even get a chance to buttonhole him as to what kind of rig he was jockeying or what he was hauling. Jack's adrenaline had also started pumping. I figured when the guy started bad-mouthing bikers, he didn't relish the idea of getting involved in a cafe brawl so far from home, of spending the night in some hoosier who's gal while a load of swinging beef or color TV sat unattended. So he skedaddled, and so did I shortly afterwards, with the hothead flywheel in tow. We're cruising northward again on I-65, about 10 miles out of the truck stop. Not a soul in sight. Suddenly, from out of nowhere, this car streaks down like Halley's Comet and sets right on our tails. I turned in my saddle and spotted this Corvette dogging us like a manta ray. Through its windshield, the light of the full moon clearly silhouetted a triangular-shaped noggin, covered by a, my God, it's the yokel we ran into back at that truck stop. He wants to play tag and me and Flywheel are hit. I downshifted and tried to scoot on away from him. No way. The vet simply followed suit and those 454 cubic inches slingshotted him right up onto my license plate. Flywheel's chop 1200 hog wasn't doing him much good either. He sure wanted Flywheel's ass. This was the place to get it, too. Two dudes murdered on a deserted freeway. If we run, we get knocked down to 80 or 90. If we slow down, the vet zips by us with a double-barrel blunderbuss poked out the window and bam! Nothing in my bag but a spark plug to throw at him. God damn. Where are those jaws now? I can look straight ahead and see both of his headlights behind me from the corners of my eyes without turning my head. Now that's close. Then, through the gloom ahead, I spotted the marker lights of a semi-tanker. Thank God, a witness. Somebody with a CB radio who would spot this deadly tag game and call the jaws. But the vet wouldn't fall back. He was hovering for the kill. I heard him click against Flywheel's rear fender a couple of times. In sheer desperation, we loomed right in up to the trucker's big red edible sign, pasted on its polished steel stern. I could see both of our reflections and could have reached over and touched its unloading valve as we were sucked along in the draft. We could read clearly the tiny sticker indicating shortening made from meat fats and vegetable oils. That psycho yokel wanted me and Flywheel. He'd have to come in there after us. That trucker knew we were back there. Those guys don't miss anything. Suddenly, the guy and the vet dropped back. He knew the trucker was hip to his foul play. Blinking twice, he veered around to pass the cumbersome rig, but the trucker suddenly flicked the wheel to the left and swayed the big tank into his path. The vet clamped down the binders, lay back, then tooted his horn repeatedly. Again, he attempted to pass, but the big tank once again barred into his lane. Flywheel and I dropped back and followed the contest from a safe distance. Suddenly, the vet downshifted, faked a move to the left, then shot around to the tanker's right and attempted to pass on the paved shoulder. It was a maneuver the trucker had waited for. When the vet pulled up amidships alongside the highway guardrail, the trucker sprang the trap on him. Easing gently to the right, he tucked the vet into the hole. To the right of the vet driver now was a steel guardrail, and to the left, a scant foot from his horrified puss rocked a ladder to the deck lid. An that awesome 8,000-gallon tank. If the vet accelerated, he'd run smack dab into those protruding right front 11x22 tires. If he slowed down, those rears would roll over him like a juggernaut. The trucker was boss. God, could he read his mirrors. Flywheel and I witnessed the most skillful cat and mouse game we'd ever seen. They were both experts, but twice we heard the tanker's big tires bark against the vet's bumpers when the driver erred a split second. Once the vet flinched away from the big tank and leaned into the guardrail, the shower of sparks from his bumpers lit up the Hoosier County side, and the reek of scoured fiberglass gagged me. Flywheel and I cheered and hooted aloud at the sights and sounds of this thrilling spectacle. Suddenly, the guardrail vanished and an off-ramp materialized from out of the dark. The tanker eased left, let the vet out of the hole, then lumbered on northward. The vet shot up the ramp, screeched to a halt, and the driver staggered out and squinted at the damage. It was the last we ever saw of him. We veered around the tanker's port side and lingered abreast of the powerful tractor, reading Montgomery Tank Lines painted on its door. I craned my neck skyward to holler, "Thank you," to the driver. There, illuminated by the dim lights of his instrument panel, smiling impishly, was the face of Jack Bishop. As Flywheel and I faded away into the headlamp beams of the big Peterbilt, Jack blasted the farewell signal with his air horns. I returned silently, "Thanks a lot, you beautiful mother trucker."
Join us, perhaps you may want to listen to a Bump Shop story. New and vintage merch available at BumpShopBackroom.com.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bump Shop Diaries. I appreciate you listening, and as always, if you enjoyed this episode, here's what I need you to do. Here's what I would like you to do. Get you a piece of paper, could be a scrap piece, a fresh notebook, a clean, no-lined printer paper piece, whatever you got. Write down at Bump Shop Diaries, write down BumpShopBackroom.com, and then put something like "Go listen to the podcast." Fold that up. Get you a vintage M&S glass bottle. Put the paper in there, cork it, throw it into one of the Great Lakes. Hopefully that will wash ashore. Somebody will pick it up. They will read what's on the paper. They will listen to the podcast. They'll go check the shit out. That's probably the best way for advertising that I know of, short of just like posting some shit from the Bump Shop Diaries page or sending a DM to somebody like, "Hey, go listen to this shit." Today's story from 1976, "Thanks a Lot, Mother Trucker," by Weird Willie. And I feel like it was really appropriate with the weather getting warmer, people getting back out on the bikes, man. You gotta be paying attention for these people in cars because they're not looking for you. I always say you gotta ride like nobody sees you and everybody wants to kill you. And even then, bad shit can still happen. You don't want to see that happen to nobody. Hopefully everybody gets through the season safely. But yeah, and you know the trope, dude. People are on their phone. People don't fucking pay attention to anybody that's not them. We all know somebody like that. That doesn't stop when they get in a fucking car. You know what I mean? They might even be making a TikTok dance. I don't know. But they're not fucking looking for motorcycles, I'll tell you that. And it's funny that in this story from 76, I thought I had an original thought years ago when I was like, yeah, there is a small portion of dudes on motorcycles who are assholes and will eventually kill themselves. It will be their fault. I thought that was like an original thought. I guess that has been going on since the beginning of motorcycles, because they mention it in this story about like the minority who will be self-eliminated. You will have that. Don't be that guy. Like, life's already hard enough. You don't need to fucking be that guy. But yeah, I think, you know, riding, obviously dangerous. To me, I think like the most dangerous areas of riding are when you're on like a backcountry two-lane road and the cross traffic has a stop sign, but you don't have to stop. Because nobody's really looking for a bike, especially if you're cruising, you know what I mean? They assume you're doing 45 and you're cruising doing 70 because they just fresh paved it and they can't judge that speed. They tap their brake at the fucking stop sign, or maybe they just let off the gas and then go through, you know? And then that's when bad shit happens. I had to run in a couple times like that. That could have been way worse, but you just got to assume there's going to be somebody there who's not stopping, you know? But yeah, I mean, everywhere is dangerous. So some people don't like riding the expressway. I don't mind it. Everybody's going the same direction. You don't got to worry about someone pulling out in front of you. You do got to worry about idiots fucking. I had a couple close calls going through Cincinnati one time. You just dude on his phone cut me and my buddy off. And, you know, same way in the story. We're like, fuck, what do we have? I got a spark plug in my pocket, you know, that I might need. So... whatever, put some marbles in there, put some chunks of porcelain, do what you gotta do to get home safe. Man, I haven't even had my bikes out yet. We've been just ripping the dirt. We're trying to get the boy maybe to get in a couple races this year and get a little taste of it. So we've just been out at this practice space that we have access to, just doing drills, just practicing technique, you know, knees over toes, elbows bent, chin forward, back straight, like just beating that into his head, you know, running some figure eight drills, going through the whoop section, hitting the tables, just some rollers, the berms, the clutch control, yada yada yada. It never ends. And shit, I'm about to have to like just have a friend come with me so I can tell the friend what to say, because it's that classic, the kid doesn't want to listen to the parent. It's like, hey, this is what you're doing. I was doing it. It's like, dude, you weren't doing it. You want me to roll the fucking footage back? Okay, well, I thought I was doing it. It's like, dude, just, you don't gotta argue, you just gotta listen, you know? You're the one who wants to do racing, here's what it takes, you know? I think that's classic, though, because I've said it before, like, I used to ride with my dad's buddy, and I'm pretty sure my dad would just tell him what to tell me I was doing wrong, because I also rode with my dad a lot, but, like, I never listened to him. Like, this fucking guy don't know, dude. What is that? What is that where you just... It's like... We gotta figure out where that DNA comes from, dude. Kids not listening to parents is, like, strong in American DNA, I feel like. And, fuck, why? Other cultures are like, oh, they're so obedient, they listen to their parents. Americans, crazy. I don't know what that accent is. It's not targeted at any specific thing. It's just like, you know what I'm talking about. You see the news. But, you know, that's how we fucking explore shit, I guess. Whatever. So, yeah, just been ripping dirt bikes. Everybody should go get a dirt bike. Told you, we got to get these backyard pit bike race circuit going. Come on, people, what are you doing? I do need to pull out the Sporty Chop, take it for a rip, and then get some pictures. I think that the Sporty Chop is on the chopping block, dude. I think I'm ready to let that fucking thing go. Focus on this big twin build with the Ben Jeff frame. I need to get rolling into that. I think already having that sitting there is a deterrent for progress. I think I need to let it go to move forward, you know? I can always look back at the pictures, but forward, you can't look back. You gotta progress or whatever, you know, some cliche quote for motivation would be. Other than that, just looking at a couple, need some seats for the vans. Where's all these captain's chairs at, dude? There are none close by anyway, and I don't, you know, I'm like, dude, I don't want to drive 10 hours to go get this shit. There's got to be something. Maybe I need to hit the scrapyard a little bit harder than I already have been, but I'm not putting a bunch of miles down in the van without an armrest again this year. That sucks, dude. It gets uncomfortable eventually. Gotta have an armrest. Gotta have something to lean on. Especially with no cruise. Come on, what am I doing with my life? I gotta get the seat going. Looking at aftermarket cruise options. Got an AC compressor coming in the mail. Get the air hooked up. We're gonna be running fucking mint, bud. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I do need to mention, if you go to the Low Life Chopper podcast and you grab one of their coffee mugs, you're gonna get a $5 coupon for my coffee. The Black Coffee Congregation Hardtail Blend. Doesn't matter if you want it in whole bean or ground, you're gonna get the discount. Perfect for taking camping. It is almost camping season. You wake up with some of that black coffee in your cup, dude. Who's better than you? Not nobody. That'll get you up, ready to put some miles down, I'll tell you what. Also check out the Crazy Gentleman podcast. He's doing the motorcycle lord's work over there. Go check that shit out. It's good. Also, if you want Crazy Gentleman merch, you want Creep Cycle merch, BumpShopBackRoom.com. Go check it out. Always updating the vintage stuff. We just put up the little sticker pack, which I still need to get some out to a few people. But yeah, check it out. Support the podcast. Doesn't always cost money. Just tell somebody about it, and we will appreciate that. So pay attention for fucking cars. Get the bikes out, both the road bikes and the dirt bikes. We're doing it all on two wheels this year. And also we're doing it in vans. So have a great fucking day, and enjoy.
BumpShopBackRoom.com. BumpShopBackRoom.com.